What's up, ladies and gents? Welcome to another episode of the Curfew Boys. Before we get things started, if you like what you hear and like what you see, you can subscribe on our YouTube channel. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and TikTok. If you like what you hear, we want to hear your honest feedback. So write a review, rate us online. Any review is good. You get what I'm trying to say. Let me introduce my boys.
Any criticism is good criticism.
That's it. Let me introduce to my boys tonight. We got Fireman Sam in the house.
Hey now.
We got GQ Chris.
Hey now.
You got Tired Anthony tonight.
Yeah.
As your host. This is take two, take three. I don't know what it is, but yeah. Usually we never edit. We never cut, but this time we had no choice because yeah.
It was that much of a fuck up. No, I'm kidding. Chris, you look like a CTV news anchor with that City of Montreal background.
Yeah.
Listen, got some news for you. Who wins back-to-back? One of the few ones.
Oh, yes.
Let's talk about it.
For the second time, or at least the third time this season, the Canadians go back-to-back. Yeah. But I don't know if they've ever gone back-to-back wins in regulation so far this season.
Well, look, if you think about it, yes, it's back-to-back wins, but we also got 5 points in three games because the game against Pittsburgh, the episode after you guys did it, the game after your episode, before your episode last week,
Look, in November, the Canadians won back-to-back. They beat Detroit in overtime, and then they beat Boston in overtime. And then later on in the month in the West Coast, they beat Anaheim in regulation, but they beat San Jose in shootout. And I believe in October, they had another back-to-back wins. Again, not in regulation, though. They beat Washington October 21st. They beat Washington 3-2 in overtime. October 23rd. They beat Buffalo in regulation 3-1. Then also, they beat Columbus at home in overtime, and then they beat the Jets the first time this season on October 28th in shootout. So the Canadians have yet to win back-to-back games in regulation.
It's still 2 points, so technically they won back-to-back games, okay?
At this point in the rebuild, I don't really care how they get the wins because last episode we kind of discussed that this is the identity of the team. They're not there yet. They can't, on a consistent level, they cannot keep leads and they cannot win games within 60 minutes on a consistent level.
That's true.
There might be a couple of games against the weaker teams that they could. You know, Seattle, Chicago, you know, they probably should have won the game in regulation against San Jose. But, you know, after that win in San Jose actually became a bit of a better team. They went on a bit of a hot streak. But the Canadians aren't there yet. They're getting there, but they're not there yet.
But what they have consistent though is the will to fight back.
It's insane.
The will to fight back, and that's coming from the young team, right? That young core, like, they just have that drive to fight and prove to everybody what they're capable of doing and what they're capable of building. So, you know, yes, you're right. We don't have that consistency of playing the full 60 minutes. We don't have that consistency of winning in a whole 60 regulation game. But they have that consistency of fighting back. And how many overtime games did we go in this season so far?
All
but three.
Yeah.
What?
I'm like, all but three, just about.
Well, we have four overtime losses.
Only four, but the Canadians only have six regulation wins, and they're at 14 wins. So that's eight games that they won in overtime or shootout. So
that's 13 overtime wins, 13 overtime games.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much
almost half their games, because they played 31 so far.
Yeah,
close to half. Yeah. So it's been an overtime shootout.
So that's I think some fans are on the fence here to say if this team is progressing or not. I'm at least in the standings compared to last year, they are.
Yes.
There's no doubt. They are better in the standings compared to last year. But how much of a better team are they if they can't win in regulation on a consistent level? I truly believe this is part of the learning process. It's part of the growing pains.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with it. And it's all because of one man who I want to talk about as much as we can in this episode. Marty St. Louis, that game against the Winnipeg Jets, reached his 150 games as a head coach in the National Hockey League. And his entire record since he took the job in 150 games, he has 59 wins, 77 losses in regulation, and 14 overtime losses.
It's not bad. Let's start.
It if you think about it, it's not bad for a guy who's never coached
an NHL team in his life
or at the pro level.
Like, it's not bad for a guy who also has Alex Burrows running his special teams.
Oh, so. I'm not putting blame on Alex Burrows at all. Like, I'm done with that fucking narrative. I'm not saying the power play is perfect. I am curious to see if the Canadians renew Burrows' contract, because I think Burrows' contract comes up at the end of the year as assistant coach. So I'm curious to see if Marty brings him back. But for now, I don't know if you keep hearing a couple of the post-game interviews that Marty's been giving lately, and how he's saying things like, it's more than once where he's saying things, this is the best I've seen this team play since I've taken over. This is one of the consistent ways we've been playing, leading to in the right direction since I took over the job. And after the game against Winnipeg, which we're going to get into, we're going to talk about a lot, he said, he's like, we're really engaged and we believe in what we're doing, especially as a collective whole 5-on-5. The five guys on the ice, they're locked in. Actually, those are the words he used. We're actually locked in right now, and it's a great thing. But another thing he said maybe a week ago, he goes, we don't have those superstars, so we have to rely on the game of five together on the ice. Is that something that's encouraging, or is that something to be a bit concerned about?
A bit of both. I think it's a bit of both, because if this team can perform and progress with what they have, and then you add in that superstar in 2-3 years, you know what I mean?
You think we're going to draft that superstar?
I don't know, but it doesn't have to be from draft. It could be from a trade or whatever. But what I'm trying to say is that, you know, some teams build from a superstar, you know, like Pittsburgh was built through Crosby and Malkin. Mm-hmm. Edmonton is building with McDavid and Draisaitl, and they're going to eventually build and eventually beat that team. You know, Chicago built from superstars, you know. We're going the other way around because we cannot get that superstar, and it's been an issue we've been having for a long time. I feel like this team is finding that superstar within the organization by building the core, right, with these young players.
Okay.
So I think we'll get that superstar maybe with what we have right now. Maybe someone will shine eventually, or we get that trade or that draft in the future. But to answer your question of what Marty said, in was that a good thing or bad thing that we have to rely on the five that we have on ice? If we can, again, build that chemistry with what we have now, we're going to be unstoppable if you add in that superstar in the future with a good core that we have built, the good core that we're building right now. So I think I would take it as a good thing.
Okay. Chris?
I don't think it's cause for concern, to be 100% honest with you. I'm always going to kind of bring it down to the same thing. Very young team, still learning how to play. Maybe some comments to hold some guys accountable, but not much more. Anthony's point, though, you said whether, you know, maybe we have a star that comes from within. I think one of the guys who's emerging more and more is Slafkovský. I don't think he's ever going to be, I don't ever think he's going to be like this 100-point player. But one of the takeaways that I had from the previous two games, I think it's just that he's becoming a force to be reckoned with, whether it's in the defensive zone, whether it be in the neutral zone or the offensive zone. And why do I say that? Like, I think Marc Denis did a really good job highlighting that in the middle of the game. It's a two-parter. Slafkovský is starting to lay down the body, and when he's doing so...
That hit on Morrissey? Oh.
He fucking went flying. He went flying. He blew up his stick and he sent him flying into the boards. Like, that was this more Josh Morrissey is skating in a certain direction. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, it was like hitting off of like wrestling ring ropes and being thrown.
It was a clean hit too, which was great.
Yeah, it was a very clean hit. And to why am I bringing all this up? I think Kent Hughes might be able to work some magic and get a star player and everything like that. But I am confident when I say, I think you're going to have a lot of star players who are truly going to become star players. I genuinely don't think we have any superstar players, but I feel wholeheartedly that Montreal Canadiens, this group, is going to win as a group of star players on multiple lines, which are going to deliver. And going back to the comment from Marty, it's just a question of them getting their shit together, if I may use that expression. It'll come. And I don't think it stresses me out. I think the other point to that too is I think Marty has to do a good job of motivating them while at the same time not shitting on them too much. You know, when you could get
I think he's got the perfect balance.
I think
Marty is a lesser slash a modern version of a John Tortorella. Because don't forget,
John Tortorella.
I truly think he loves and respects John Tortorella as, you know, the coach that helped them win a Stanley Cup in 2004 with Tampa Bay. I think the way John Tortorella demands effort, work ethic from his players is the exact same way that Marty demands these players right now. Unless we see footage, behind the scene footage of in the dressing room, I don't know if Marty is at the level of the angry Italian losing your shit. Don't forget, Tortorella is an Italian last name. So I don't know. Maybe that's where Torts gets his fucking, when his blood boils and he starts yelling. I don't think Marty would go to that extent. Maybe that's just not the type of guy he is. But accountability, I think Marty holds that to his players game in and game out. And I think the players know it too, but I think Marty's also just, and everybody says it, like Rick Bowness before the game against Winnipeg, Rick Bowness like praised Marty, and the way he sees the game and how he thinks the game is very different from most people in the business, probably most coaches. So I think that's what gets the players motivated. And so far, like any player so far on the Canadiens that says, what's it like playing for Marty, you know, they all love it. And I'll go a step even further. I think Marty is a bit of like, he's definitely a leadership figure. And to me, and we'll get to this particular player later on, but to me, it's just the way he's handled the whole Josh Anderson situation. Any other coach
situation? How many situations?
Sure, but let's just use Josh Anderson for an example. We'll talk about him later. Any other coach, listen, we go back to either Claude Julien, we could go back to Michel Therrien. I think any other coach would probably demote him to the third line, fourth line. It's just, if it's just not working for you, sorry, I'm going to give somebody else a chance that that will probably deserve it for you. I don't know if I'm saying it properly. Dude, Marty did not give up on this guy. And he said it the best. I think he said the best quote any coach could say. I'm not going to give up on you until you give up on yourself. The day you give up on yourself, I'm going to give up on you. Oh, when I heard that, I had a major man crush. I mean, I always had a major man crush on Marty, but I think my pants got a little wet after that. I have no problem admitting it.
but look how I find Marty's very good with his words and his approach on things, because a comment like he said that you mentioned before, Sam, of how he said, you know, we don't have any superstars, but we have to depend on the five. If you are an asshole and came across as an asshole and downgrading your players and team and people, that could come off as an insulting comment to your team. And if that would be my coach, like if Torts would say something like that on live TV, as a player, I'd be demotivated. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong? Like, I have to play with a guy who just insulted me to the world? Like, fuck you, right? But I think how Marty approaches it, where he's using that as not an insulting way, he's using it as, look, we don't have a superstar, but I trust what I have in front of me, and I know that I see these players capable of becoming something eventually.
That's true, too. Yeah.
Hearing this as a player with a coach like that and that mindset and that approach, I'll be like, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to try to prove something. I'm going to prove to Marty and everybody else that he's right. Like, we're not superstars, but we will become eventually, or I'll prove to you that I will be that guy.
So it could be.
I think it's the way Marty approaches it, his wording, his
perception. Fuel the motivation. Yeah.
How he perceives it. It's just, I love him. Like you said, man crush. He's just a perfect fit for this team.
But Chris and I, we spoke about Slafkovský. Like, what do you think of the kid so far, especially in the month of December?
I'm telling you, like, everybody shot on him last year, and I can't, like, he's not McDavid. He's not Crosby.
No,
he'll never be. So stop. Like, just because he's number one draft pick doesn't mean that he's going to be a superstar game one. Give him a chance. Look at Jack Hughes. The guy took him three seasons or four
to explode finally.
And now he's a fucking superstar. Okay. Imagine him in the Montreal Canadiens at year three.
We would have lost it.
Year three. Everybody would have been fucking demanding a trade. They have signs at the Bell Center. Trade this fucking guy. Blah, 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 blah. And then what happens, right? So going back to your question about Slafkovský, give him time. We've all said it. Give him time. Give him the right environment, which is
right, and the right exposure too, which putting me on the first line did that
1,000%. And how many times do all of us on this podcast say it last year and now at the beginning of this season? Give this guy a chance to play. Stop putting him on the fourth. Don't put him to just give him. We're in a rebuild. We're not planning like
that's what I think a lot of fans are forgetting. We're still in a rebuild here. Like, we're not done,
but
it's not done yet.
But we're in a time where the coach and the organization needs to be a little free. Remember we had said, was it last year? What's the Habs identity? And we said, we don't have one yet. We don't know what it is. We need to find it. Well, because we haven't found it yet, just have fun. Let these kids play. Remember, let the kids play. Play with the kids. I don't know how I said it. Let these kids play.
Let's not use the other one. And
you know, but
let the kids play.
But Sam, you said it. Like, the right exposure. And we're giving him that exposure. We're putting him on the first line. He's building confidence with Caulfield or Suzuki and all these guys. Give this guy a chance to get that experience. And to answer your question, how he's in the month of December, finally. And Chris, you said it too. He's finally using his body. And that's been something we've been saying since fucking last year. Use your fucking body. The guy did not know how to use it. Lack of experience.
And lack of maturity, too.
Like, and lack of maturity.
At the age of 18. Like, he's 19 now. Imagine.
Oh, he's 19.
Imagine a 21.
Give imagine 21, 22, 23 even. Like, oh, my God. Like, this kid's going to be a tank.
He's progressing the right direction, and I'm very happy about it.
Oh, absolutely. He's going to be Ivan Drago, like, on the ice.
That's it. Like, again, coming from a big person, okay? I thought I was so big and so strong at 19 years old. You're doing weights and you're like, oh, wow, whatever. Do you have any idea the physical progression you make? Do you have any fucking idea the physical progression that you make between the age of like 19 to 24, 25?
Yep.
Like, he's not even scratching the surface. No, he doesn't. I keep saying it. He hasn't figured out what he can actually do. And I'm sorry to say, the kid is still, and everybody's going to attack and say, what the hell? The kid is still growing. Mm-hmm. And when I say growing, like, he hasn't, as big as he is, he still hasn't filled in. Mm-hmm. As heavy as he is, I guarantee you some of that is, it's not pure muscle and whatever. You're still growing at that age. I was still growing. I was like 6'2". I still grew another inch and a bit. At that age, you're still maturing. Your muscles are just, again, you're still in a growth phase. The kid, when he figures his shit out,
you're
when
still he trying finally to grow, settles Joe, in. You're still you're still trying to grow, Chris.
That's not nice.
No, but I meant Chris. I don't know why I said Joe. Yeah. But sorry. Hold on a second.
Mm.
I think KK was brought to our team at the wrong time. Because if KK would have been in last year's draft,
oh my god,
in the environment,
did you just open up that can of worms?
No, but hold on, think about it. Think about it.
Don't worry, I have thought about it.
KK with Marty, and this kind of development that we're in, you don't think he'd be better than what he is now?
Right. Okay, Anthony, I wasn't 100% done with what I was saying, but I wanted to lead into exactly what you're mentioning right now. Marty is a huge difference maker, okay? And I'm going to start with this. I'm going to start by giving an example outside. John Hines, Minnesota Wild. They go back to fucking play Pittsburgh. You have Marc-Andre Fleury, who's likely playing his last game, and they don't even put Fleury in nets to start up. Marty, okay, the difference is there are a lot of these dinosaur coaches, and I will say Claude Julien, when he's fucking playing Dwight King and these piece of shit players that don't deserve to be there.
But that's – it's not his fault. Bergevin acquired those guys.
I understand he acquired those guys, but what Anthony just brought up is with Dominic Ducharme, with Claude Julien, with Michel Therrien, there was always this automatic gravitation towards favoring the veteran players just because they were veteran players. Marty is a huge players coach. Like, he cares. And that's another thing too. I think what he says on camera in front of the media, I think there's a whole completely different speech. And I think he's got the guys' respect. He's got their understanding. When Marty says, and you brought up another point too, I'm just firing off a whole bunch of different points. Marty, the thing is, Marty was a fucking superstar. Marty was scoring 100 points a season. Marty played with other superstars.
But he didn't,
they don't currently have any superstars.
He didn't start off as a superstar, though. That's another thing.
He did not start off as a superstar. Marty is just a guy who busted his ass. He was very confident. I think,
a better version of
Gallagher. Developed that confidence. And to go full circle, Anthony, I do think that a player like KK would have flourished because we see just how much time, how much, like Slafkovský, even if I think all three of us were to make a decision, I think he could have gone to the minors. I think Marty was one of the few guys in the city, other than the fans who wanted to blindly support Slafkovský. I think Marty was one of the few guys in the city who was actually willing to stand by his side and support him and say, no, I got this shit. I want this kid around.
We posted about that. We posted about it. We posted that on Instagram, and it got over it fucking, I don't know how many likes and reshares it got. But yeah, he was the only one. Kent Hughes and Jeff Gordon, they listened to Marty on this one. And maybe maybe that sense of leadership comes from the two guys upstairs as well. They probably don't have this my way or the highway type of attitude. So
it's probably not.
So you know what I mean? Like I right now, like the topic is Marty, but it kind of goes full circle, and it reciprocates and it inspires guys. You know what I mean? What if Slav, Chris, you just made me think of something right now. Last episode, you're like, I don't know what the hell got into the guy or what happened to him. Maybe because somebody somewhere, maybe Marty, or maybe all three of them. Can you imagine all three of them were like, listen, we wanted to send you, but your coach here believes in you. We believe in your coach. We believe in you. Now go fucking play, kid. Maybe that's what woke him up. You never know.
I'll be honest. I think that's not likelihood. I think that's very probable that happened. And let's say Kent Hughes and Jeff Gorton, they have that little doubt. They're like, I think we should send him back. Even if it's the coach, even if it's not a conversation with all four of them, Slafkovský included, even if it's Marty who pulls him aside and says, I believe in you. I don't know how to tell you this. You have everything you need to succeed. You just got to go out and you got to play. You're the same player that we drafted. We drafted you number one because you were able to do this, this, and this. Don't tell me you're not able to do this because you were able to do this a year ago, a year and a half ago, and while you were growing up. Mm-hmm. Go and be that same player. Stop thinking about it and go be that player. And you say, I'm keeping you here. I stuck my neck out on the line. I want you here. Now go do it. I don't think it's even a question. I definitely think Marty pulled him aside and said, I'm sticking my neck out on the line. I believe in you. Go for it, kid. And fuck, because it was like a switch. It was like an on-off switch. It was one game shit, like shit, on switch. Best player on the team for the past month.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to go back like that Winnipeg game. Like he was just laying the body. He was blocking shots. I love how it just kills the doubters. Well, it doesn't kill them, but it shuts them up. Like nobody's saying anything anymore about send them down.
So you still have the morons who are just like, oh, you wasted a first overall pick on a guy who doesn't score points. Watch this guy kill you in the playoffs in a few years.
One player, I really want to start talking about this player. We haven't spoken about him because we didn't have much reasons to talk about him except for that he couldn't fucking score. I think Josh Anderson is back, boys.
Yes, he is. And I told you, he needs one goal. He needs one goal to open up the floodgates. And after that one goal, he's just on fucking fire.
Yeah.
He's
on fire. Oh, my God. So I was at the game when they won against Seattle, where he scored his first goal of the season, but in an empty net from his own zone, which is still pretty impressive. And, you know, you see the footage of the players jumping on the ice. You see, like, you see Cole Caulfield doing that Super Mario jump every time. Boing, boing. Like. It's we say that with love to Cole Caulfield, but then he couldn't score after that. But then again, it comes down to that Marty speech. I won't give up on you if you don't give up on yourself. Yeah. And that had to have lit a fucking fire under Josh Anderson's ass. And against the New York Islanders, he came to play. Mind you, he's been coming to play every night.
He just wasn't scoring, but his progression didn't drop. Like he wasn't playing really bad.
I totally agree with that, and I also believe he's good with Monahan. I think we're underestimating the effect of Jake Evans on that line with him, because ever since Jake Evans went on the line with Monahan and Anderson, like they've been getting better. And it's weird. Jake Evans, we know him as like a fourth line centerman. But I think he has an assist on every Josh Anderson goal from now on, except for the power. Never mind. Scratch that. We don't have to edit though. I think he's back. He's streaky. And I think his streak starts now. So
hold on. Let me rephrase that.
Go, Anthony.
His gameplay is consistent. But he's streaky with goals. But his gameplay is very consistent. And
yeah, he's streaky with goals. Exactly. And how did he score that first goal? The goal against his first goal against the Islanders. Like, hey, just the puck is there. man, head down and just fucking wired on net. And we all thought, I think everybody, including him, I think he thought it was Jake Evans' goal. Jake Evans like, no, it's your goal, buddy. And another thing too, it's Marty's there. It's like right now we're having a hard time scoring from the outside. Guys, get inside, get in the slot. You know, Caulfield's goal against the Islanders. Where was he? He was what? Not even 4 feet in front of the goalie. What did Josh Anderson do on his second goal? He fucking crashed the net.
Yeah.
He crashed the net. How did he score against Winnipeg? Lucky bounce, rebound off of him. But hey, he was literally he was centimeters next to the goalie. Like so, sometimes that you got to get in those dirty areas, man. And sometimes that's getting back to basics. You know, Brendan Gallagher made a career of playing that way. If he can do it, so can these guys.
Yep.
So it's great to see. I'm super, super happy for him. He got a beautiful ovation from the crowd at the Bell Center. He said he was emotional about it. That was awesome. Well, I guess Pittsburgh, when he went out on the ice for the shootout, like the crowd was loud. And then Gallagher got on, and for Joey, it was the loudest. I'm not making this up, boys.
No, you heard it on TV, man. Everybody was standing up.
When Gallagher got on the ice for the penalty for the shootout, the crowd exploded. It was loud. It was so loud. I'm telling you, like I almost went deaf.
But what would Joey say? Of course, Gallagher didn't score. Yeah,
of course, he doesn't. When did Gallagher's only got like maybe 3 shootout goals in his entire career?
Look,
that's me making fun of Joey.
Let's not go down the Gallagher bashing path. No. Just wanted to give Joey a shout out there, but you said it so well, and I think that was something that was the first thing that I wanted to mention. Josh Anderson, a balance between what Anthony and you as well, Sammy, have said. Anthony, he's been playing the right way. He showed up every game. Even a few games ago, he had a wicked scrap. He's emotionally involved. Mm. He's doing all the right things. We mentioned it last episode. I think it was myself who said it. Josh Anderson was freaking unlucky at the beginning of the year because how many times did the goalie just reach out, make these amazing saves?
Mm-hmm.
Not making the same save for the rest of the game, but makes the save on Anderson. Like, he was truly snake bitten. I'm super happy that the floodgates kind of opened for him. He's already at 4 goals at this point in time. And I think, like you brought it up, the emotional side of things. I'm happy, at least on that front, that a lot of Montreal fans did not turn on Anderson. And they continued to show that appreciation. I'm beyond happy that Marty kept that belief there. And I think it's the same principle as Slafkovský. Like, I'm not going to give up on you. Will you take that pressure off your shoulders? Just go do what I know you're capable of doing. Go do it. And he got rewarded for it. I'm so happy for the guy. And that seriously, that ovation was beautiful. It was one of the things that I think truly differentiates a lot of fans over here in Montreal from the, I hate to say it, but the less knowledgeable fan bases. He just has not been rewarded for all of his hard work, and it finally came pouring through, and like you genuinely feel the happiness, even for his teammates, like standing up and going crazy and knocking on the boards. Like it was touching to see. Loved it.
Of course. Yeah, I absolutely. If you guys watched the Winnipeg game, do you think he made a hand pass to Dvorak on that power play goal?
100%.
Yeah?
I think like the puck did change directions, but genuinely
replay. Oh, I don't know. Replay. I don't understand how like we could send fucking spaceships like 1,000 light years away from planet Earth and receive pictures of billions of galaxies away from us, billions of light years away from us. Yet we cannot, for the life of us, the NHL cannot figure out to have HD fucking footage when it comes to replays and zooming in. I don't get it. Maybe we don't have the NASA budget.
I don't know. We have 8K televisions and you cannot fucking like, zoom in on a fucking puck at the arena. I don't get it.
Like you're telling me fucking these high-speed fucking cameras on the highway can zoom in on your fucking car and catch your license plate, bill you for hundreds of dollars, yet we don't have cameras in the NHL that could zoom in and have a clear, non-pixelated image or footage of the puck. I don't know.
I hear where you're coming from, but I think it's a question of time before Gary Bettman sells another portion of the NHL's soul to have like GoPros in the helmets or something like that to get a first person view.
I think that's
cool, gonna come. That's gonna come.
It already is.
During gameplay, I'm saying.
Everybody across the board has cameras because they're gonna capture, especially if there's gonna be suspensions. So shit that's said on the ice. Things that are done, I think it's a question of time. God,
but that's okay. That is such a great argument. Why not use GoPro helmets as part of the officiating?
Well, they do. They have it. They had it as a thing, like a GoPro helmet.
It was at the All-Star game they had that.
But why not? Why not go, like, especially with these offside, why not? Like, the best angle you could have is the referee at ice level standing on the line and looking straight, looking fucking straight to see.
You know what? I need to pause you right there and jump in. That would also hold these motherfuckers accountable. If you're looking directly at a penalty and you don't call it, then the refs can start to be penalized for their shit.
Look,
refing as well.
Sure, I also wanted to say. No, I get it.
I want to say something to that, but it's gonna open up a whole can of worms with my.
Fuck it. Hold on. Let me say what I want to. I'm really curious to hear what you want to say. Some games, they gotta let the boys play, especially in playoffs. Unless it's, and I've said this many times. Unless it's a boarding, unless it's a high stick to the fucking eye, like, man, sometimes these cross checks, these maybe little not elbow to the face if it's blatant obvious. Sometimes these little roughing plays, like in the playoffs, you let it pass because that's the playoffs. It's rough, it's rugged. But I get what you're saying, Chris. Anthony, I really want to hear this, please.
I'm gonna get shot, but look, I'm sorry. I have to. This is my okay. I'm gonna be true to myself. I'll be honest of what I feel and what I think, and it is what it is. If you don't agree, well, too bad.
Too bad.
I spoke about this a bit in our group chat, the fantasy group chat, football fantasy. Let me rephrase that. Mm-hmm. But a fantasy football group chat that Joey's in, and I kind of stated my opinion on the NFL, and I got a lot of backlash. That's it. Whatever. I'm fucking tired. But anyways, I strongly believe that. Fuck. Look.
Don't be afraid to be afraid.
All sports, there's some sort of Vegas involved in it, and what I mean by Vegas is money involved in games and whatever, and. It's been there. It's always there. It's in soccer. It's in hockey. It's in football. It's in baseball. It's everywhere. And now that Vegas is getting more and more popular and bigger and expanding in their sports and their hotels and you name it, it's only normal that a lot of money is able to be made with gambling and in Vegas. And I think there's a lot of rig stuff. So to answer your question, Sam, why can't they have GoPros? You know, we have all the answers to solve all our problems.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we can easily put cameras on the boards to guarantee your offsides. But if you're gonna have this perfection in sports, then it's harder to rig them.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Right. Okay?
And I believe that now sports is becoming more and more obvious of how rigged it's getting. Maybe not the NHL. I don't think the NHL is there yet. I think it's happening in some shape or form, but it's not there yet.
Okay.
The NFL, it's there already. The NFL is becoming the WWE. Okay. Worldwide Federation. It's no more federation because it was actually fun to watch back then. Now it's entertainment. NFL is becoming
World Wrestling Entertainment. Yes.
So
instead
it's
of a
more and more obvious of how rigged it's getting. Like, before it's easy to make a bad call and you can say the ref screwed up or he didn't see it or whatever. And it's been going on for so long, right? This year specifically, you know, like they came out with the commercial of how the NFL is scripted in the last two seasons. So last year, a player went on, an actual NFL player went on a podcast.
Okay.
And kind of said that the NFL is scripted, that he gets a script at the beginning of the year and they have they know who's winning the games, what games are being won, they're going to win it, who's going to win the Super Bowl.
Did he get a script that Travis Kelce was going to fucking date what's her face?
That's another thing of entertainment.
We're going to see it all over the fucking, all over our lives. And anyways, yeah.
Every time he touches the ball, you see fucking Taylor Swift at that. It makes no sense. Fucking John Bon Jovi's at every Patriots game. You don't see the fucking camera on him all the time. And he's bigger than Taylor Swift. But anyways, let's not get into that. What I'm trying to say is that this specific... So back to that. Like last year, a guy, an NFLer, went on a podcast and said that the league is scripted. And he was serious about it. Okay. And then everybody attacked him, said, what the fuck are you saying? Don't believe me. It's bullshit. And then this year, the beginning of the season, there was a commercial of the start of the season where a bunch of players were in a room with the refs and they all got a script of how the season's going to be. And they made a joke out of it. But I believe this year, like, there's a lot of games. And again, Joey, you're thinking that I'm saying this because the Patriots suck this year. They do suck. I'm not taking that away from it. I'm not denying that. They suck. They're not a good team. They're rebuilding like the Habs are. It is what it is. We had our glory for 20 years. Your team will never have 20 years of glory, so fuck off. But anyways, that being said, I'm actually being a true fan. I watch pretty much every Sunday game.
Yeah.
I watch minimum 5 games a week, and like I've watched them all. And I'm going to be honest. Like, there's a lot of calls and plays and stuff that are being made that they're making it obvious that it's scripted. It's obvious that there's money on the line, you know, the bettors. Now you see a bunch of commercials of Bet99 and fucking FanDuel and this and that. That's nuts. All they talk about. So
yeah, it's crazy.
Only normal that Vegas is part of a lot of shit. Now, I know I babbled here about this, but go back to my point of all your concerns about why this? Why can't we do this? We have the answers to solve the problems. You said it. GoPro cams on refs. You can catch every fucking thing. All missed calls, all misplays, everything. Put a GoPro on a player where you can actually
see. I think that's a bit much. That might be a bit much. I know,
but I'm just saying these are all answers to solve every problem we have. Why aren't they doing it? Again, the more cameras you have on the field, the less it's harder, like it's harder to rig things. Soccer has been a rig sport for fucking centuries.
I don't even want to fucking.
There was never goal line cameras. That's true. There was never offside cameras, and there was never challenge, culture challenge, or referee challenges. Right.
VARs. And how many
times have sport? The soccer has been rigged. Let's go back to 2004 World Cup. It was the most rigged World Cup ever. It came out. They admitted it. It was a rigged sport tournament, you know. Why? It was easy to rig them because there's no cameras on the field. You cannot catch these things. Now, slowly, they're bringing in the cameras and all that stuff. But anyways, all this to say, you can solve all these problems easily to make the sport so fair, but they'll never do it because...
Do you think it was rigged when Slafkovský was skating up the ice and he was using his left hand to protect the puck, and he got called for fucking roughing?
I'm not saying that was rigged.
I'm saying that was rigged because that was bullshit. Bullshit fucking call. I could not believe. I don't think I've ever in my life watching hockey, playing hockey, saw a penalty where the puck carrier is skating at full speed. And, you know, sometimes as kids, we're taught with one hand, always two hands on the stick. But sometimes if you have to protect the puck, use your body, one hand on the stick, you're pushing, and the other arm, you're just like in football. You fucking just, you stiff. I've never seen a player doing that. Sorry. And it's all good. And what's his name? Fucking Apple Martini from Winnipeg fucking does the gesture like he got hit, like he got shot in the face. I've never seen that before. He gets 2 minutes for roughing. Really? That was fucking rigged. That was a stupid fucking call.
For sure. Well, I don't know. I'll be honest. I didn't see that play. I don't think I was watching that period. But I think right now the NHL is far from making the obvious rigness. I mean, the NFL is already there. I'm saying it out loud, and I'm a big NFL fan. NHL, it's a little harder to quote unquote rig, and but I'm just saying, just going back to the point of let's find solutions to fix these issues. There is solutions. They're just not going to choose them because they need to. Like, I feel like Vegas is very controlling, and you can see it happening. But anyways,
that was some fucking session.
Know what kind of fans are going to comment to that. I know what Joy's going to say, but anyways.
Listen, we got a lot of followers that are diehard NFL fans, probably like you and Joey, so it will be interesting.
But there was also another play about the hand thing, and I want to actually ask you guys, because I watched the replay, and I'm on the fence on both. So in the overtime when we had a power play, was it against Winnipeg?
It was already four on three. When Ehlers...
Matheson.
Yes, Matheson got cross-checked, and it was fucking obvious. Like, the guy was attacking him.
Dude, I did not see Matheson
hold the puck,
hand on the puck.
But
now
that's
look,
not overarching. You're getting cross-checked in the back. I mean, if someone's fucking cross-checking a stick 3-4 times on my back, of course I'm gonna I don't know.
Listen. I'm not gonna go as far as and say that he did not do it. The angle that you know the camera was at, like, it was impossible to see. Maybe the ref did see something, whatever, fine, okay, sure, whatever. But after that, the face-off in, was it, it was in the offensive zone when Ehlers he was interfered by, I don't know if it was Josh Anderson or whoever. And then he goes and trips someone. He got fucking pissed off because he thought there should have been a call on interference on him. But then he ended up tripping someone, and you know that led to the Justin Barron game winner. And that was pretty cool. Playing against his brother, his parents were in the stands.
I like seeing that stuff.
Could Justin Barron actually be the power play quarterback that we're looking for?
Maybe.
No.
No, I don't know. I'm just...
My answer is straight up no. I think he'll be fine on the second unit. I still think the guy fumbles the puck way too often at the blue line. But I will say this much. I'll take him any day. And you guys can go back to about a minute before the freaking power play even started. I hate Matheson. I said it last episode too. I hate Matheson. I don't think he's a quarterback at all. I don't think he's feeding the right guys the right passes. I don't think he's there.
Wait. You hate Matheson? You hate Matheson as a defenseman on the Canadiens?
On the power play only. I love having Mike Matheson.
Love him as a player. Before the softies fuck it. They lose their shit on Twitter and you know try to expose us. They're tough.
I'm so happy to have Mike Matheson as part of the team, but I really hate his use on the power play, particularly on the first wave. And right when he got the penalty, honestly, it was 4-on-3. It was going to continue to be a 4-on-3. The first thing that I wrote the group, as I said, oh, thank God, Matheson is off the power play. Who goes on? Barron goes on. Gets space, has the shot, and scores. And I think, too, at the same time, one of the reasons why it opened it up is because, again, 4-on-3 is not 5-on-4. I completely understand there's a lot more room to move about. But he's already, as much as I don't think he is the power play quarterback, waiting for Lane Hutson to arrive, but I don't think he is the power play quarterback, but I already think he's better than Matheson. I don't care how well Matheson skates. I find that they just stand there like a bunch of salams waiting for the puck, and then they don't do anything. They don't open up.
Matheson's good on the rush. Matheson is very good on the rush.
He's great on the rush, but that's it. I think another thing, too, that I'll say, Matheson, 3-on-3 overtime, absolutely essential. Honestly, the first defenseman that I put on. But power play, absolutely not. He doesn't command any change, any shifting on the ice that opens up holes for shots, for passes, for anything. And it's usually the puck going to Suzuki, back to Matheson, Matheson to Caulfield, back to Matheson to Suzuki. And you're there saying like, okay, they're going to shoot sometimes. Think, 2 minutes goes by and done.
I think Justin Barron on the power play could benefit a guy like Caulfield. If anything,
absolutely. Bingo.
Because the right-handed shooter making a pass to another right-handed shooter, especially someone like Caulfield that wants to one-time it, and Matheson can't because sometimes he has to, you know, he has to turn the body a little bit. He's got to get himself in that position a little bit more than Justin Barron has to. So. It's something that's going to be interesting to see, especially against when the Canadiens play against the Wild Friday night. That's something that's going to be interesting too to see. Do you guys know when was the last time the Canadiens won in Minnesota? Do you guys remember?
I'd say cue the GIF of the old lady from Titanic. It's been 84 years. I really don't know.
Well, it was okay. It was back in 2011, and a specific defenseman got a hat trick.
DK Subban hat trick. That was it. Holy
Do you remember who the goalie was?
2011.
Was it Devin Dubnyk?
Nope. For Minnesota. You know who the goalie was?
Jose Theodore?
Yeah, no. There you go.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So, last time the Canadiens won was 8, I think it was 8-1 the score. In Minnesota, PK Subban hat trick, 4 points, and Jose Theodore was one of the goalies for Minnesota. There was still Mike Camilleri was there, Roman Hamrlik the real number 4. Roman Hamrlik was on the Canadiens. I think Alex Auld, he's big, he's bald, he's Alex Auld, was the goaltender for that game too. So, hey, the Canadiens, they got a bit of a challenge ahead coming up them. I mean, Minnesota, look, it's been 84 years since the Canadiens won in Minnesota. So there's that challenge, but I don't know. I'm predicting a third win back-to-back. Did you guys hear what Marty said too? He goes, I think a reporter asked him, do you think sometimes in your practices you might be pushing guys too much or something or not enough? He goes, no, with today's science, we have data and we could see where they're at in terms of their level of like effort throughout the practices. So apparently, I don't know if these guys are wired through some kind of heart monitoring system, but apparently they have data and they see every player what they're at in terms of how much they're pushing it at practices.
Listen,
fucking. I heard that. My brain went. My brain literally exploded. I had no fucking idea.
Technology is actually fucking like it's crazy to see how much technology has developed in this league or in this life we live in now. It's crazy.
Guys,
this is the first time I'm hearing how a Montreal Canadiens coach is using scientific data to monitor his players during practice.
Guys, Slafkovsky, a.k.a. Ivan Drago Jr., you know, in the movie where he's all patched up with all the wires and everything to record all the data for his performance, They're using the new technology. Slavkovsky brought that with him, and I guarantee you that's part of what's going on.
Oh, no, that's not. That's Scarface. That's Scarface, the Push It to the Limit song. Oh, no. Hearts on fire. There you go.
That's
the one.
Oh, my God. All the graphs are going off. That's what's going on.
No, seriously. Like, I think this is hockey operations, Jeff Gordon. That's his thing. We want to bring an analytics team.
I'm telling you guys, there's a bright future ahead of us. I know we've been saying that, but the way this organization is building their team and I don't know, there's something crazy going to happen, and it's in a good way with this team.
It's patient. You know
what? I gave a shout out to Joey. I think it's time. It's been a little while since we've heard from Zook, but Zook, we got to give him credit where credit is due. Zook is feeling, and I'm in agreement with it, but this comes from Zook, free agency and trades, but particularly free agency. I think the Montreal Canadiens within the coming 2 to 3 years are going to make a big splash.
Okay.
And that's Mr. Zook.
There's lots of trade rumors going around regarding the Canadiens. I don't know if
Winnipeg, Winnipeg is no. What did you post on our page before? Hold on.
Earlier today,
I was
Seattle.
Okay,
Shane Wright,
dude, it's so funny. Our buddy Jordan sent us a DM. He's like, imagine Jake Allen for Shane Wright. I think that would be fucking hilarious,
and no one can. That would be. We got our number one and number two pick.
That would be if Kent Hughes could pull that shit off. He's going down as the second greatest Montreal Canadiens general manager of all time. I still think Sam Pollock is number one and always will be, not because him and I share a same first name, but he traded, I don't know who, to, I forgot which, I forgot to which team. I don't know how I could forget. First overall pick, and he selects Guy Lafleur. And even Guy Lafleur had a difficult couple of first seasons in the NHL. Just say, I'm not saying Slavkovsky is the next Guy Lafleur. Not even close. Chill, people. Calm your tits. I'm just saying, sometimes a first overall pick needs time. That's all. Calm your man tits. Calm your lady tits. It takes time. Now, as far as these trade rumors are concerned, the goaltender is going to be the top amongst the trade rumor mill going on. Right now, there's a freeze. Teams cannot trade for the next two weeks or 3 weeks. They can't make any trades because of the holidays, which I think is great. I think it's a great idea.
Humane.
Very. Antti Raanta got sent to the minors by Carolina. Now they signed Dell to a PTO contract. Seattle needs a goalie. New Jersey needs a goalie. New Jersey needs a defenseman, too. Dougie Hamilton's on the LTIR.
We just signed another minor league goaltender. FYI.
But that's a minor league tryout. It has nothing to do with the Canadiens, and that's mainly to help out the Laval Rocket more than anything. He's not under the Montreal Canadiens contract. Laval Rocket that are playing right now as we speak, tied 2-2 at the end of the second period. But that's also because there's no way Primo's going down. Okay. Maybe
two goalies are getting traded out of Montreal.
No, there's no fucking dude. There's no goalie in Laval right now that's ready to step foot on NHL ice surface. There's none. I think it's Allen gone too. The way he played against Winnipeg the other night, he played well. He played great. I think Allen is the guy to go, man. I could see him playing in Carolina. I really could. And I could see him.
You get KK back.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? Something to fucking screw over the Hurricanes GM, Kakalainen, whatever his fucking name is, that bastard. I don't even know if he's still GM, but there's, dude, with a bunch of surplus defensemen too, now there's rumors that Matthias Norlander might get traded. So, Ant, are you okay with Arbor Jacki being in Laval?
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
I mean, sorry.
It's all good.
That was on mute.
Mean what? You mean what? There are a lot of Montrealers who are waiting for this answer, Anthony. Let's hear it.
Oh, there's a lot of... Yeah.
I'm on the fence, right? Because, you know, me saying yes contradicts what I said earlier in the episode where let these kids play. Hold on. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to close this. I don't know why I cannot close my WhatsApp
good.
On my... I think it's closed. Yeah.
Kind of porn up notification. So and so is on live.
So it contradicts what I said earlier about let the kids play. And think Jacki, you know, having some more ice time in the NHL level would be beneficial. But I don't think he's a player we need right now on the team. So put him on in Laval to just, you know, get more experience and more ice time, because I don't think playing with the Montreal Canadiens will give him enough ice time to develop. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm saying he's not a player we need at the moment. I think we're, again, you said it before, we need to try to find our identity. Are we that team to be, you know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Well, I think the Canadiens can play that in your face type of hockey.
I think that one day I want to be eventually one day the Boston Bruins, you know, like that talented in your face team
that intimidates you.
That intimidates you. And Jacki will be a player to intimidate, but I think he's still not mature enough yet to be at. I think he just needs to develop a little bit more, and
he's still a rookie. So like it's.
But that's why. So and that's why I say if Montreal is fighting for playoffs and getting closer to that, you know, towards March, and they're fighting for a spot, that's when you bring him back. So give him that experience now, and then
I like that point. Now I'm so happy you mentioned that, because Canadians are 3 points out of a final wild card spot. And because of that, with all these trade rumors going around about maybe Allen's going, maybe a defenseman, I still think they are not abandoning the plan. I don't think they're going to make these trades to help improve this team to, one, try to make the playoffs, and if they do make it, to, two, try to get as far as they can in the playoffs. I truly believe if the Canadiens some way, somehow, fucking make it, they're gonna go with the team they have, hope for the best, because at the end of the day, I don't think this team is playoff ready. They could go on a streak where they make it. It could happen. Anything could happen. But even if they get there, I don't think they're good enough to go far. Then again, I say this, anything can happen in the playoffs. I'm just going with my gut feel here and seeing how young this team is compared to the team we saw last time they went to the playoffs. They're not the same team. They're still too young. Anything could happen. I don't think Cantus will make any trades to help improve this team, to help make the playoffs, and to see if they could go far in the playoffs. They are not abandoning their plan about rebuilding.
So that being said, and this is coming from me, a guy who's very optimistic and always says, oh, if they make the playoffs, anything can happen and we can still win. And I'll tell you right now, it ain't going to happen if we make the playoffs. Like, we're not going to see this team in the Stanley Cup Finals. And I agree with that point, Sam. Like, I really hope they stick to the plan. And even though we're in that fight for the playoffs still, and it's still early, we're only in the month of December going into January, mm-hmm. we still have a lot of hockey left before we can talk about playoffs. I don't see any drastic moves being made.
Exactly.
Or short term. We're done with the short term moves.
Oh, man, 1,000%. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This team, if there's any trades coming, which we know they will,
I think one of the goalies' trade is inevitable this year.
100%. But these trades are not for the short term goal, it's for the future.
Yeah,
any exactly. trade that happens or any moves that are going to happen in the next coming weeks or months will determine the long-term goal, not the short-term. Even if we're in playoff position or fighting for a position, even free agency, trade deadline, mm-hmm. let's say we're in that position of in playoffs or fighting for it, there won't be any big moves
I don't think there'll be buyers. Yeah, I agree with that.
So to your point, Anthony, I'm so happy that you went down that line and you wrote and said the trade deadline. Two things. If the Montreal Canadiens, this is my opinion, if the Montreal Canadiens are going to make a move this year, it's purely going to be to open up roster spots for the guys that they foresee being the future of the Montreal Canadiens. So to be able to bring Jack Eye back in the lineup, to be able to, you know, have that sort of space. And number two, the trade deadline point. I think if the goalie market continues to go this way, Jake Allen's value is only going to go up. So it's maybe in the Montreal Canadiens' best interest to hold off and wait as long as possible. Obviously, it's a fine line. You have to, you know, pick your timing, right? If all goalies are injured now and there's a demand for goalies right now, well, then you can't miss that opportunity. But at the same time, I could damn well see a bidding war for a guy like Jake Allen if certain teams are ready to go into the playoffs.
You want that bidding war?
It's going to happen before.
We need to see him play more.
It's going to happen before the deadline, though. I get a strong feeling the Canadians, if they're going to make trades, it's going to be before the deadline.
Has to be done before the deadline because all, like you just said, Chris and Sam, before, with all these injuries in the league and the high demand for goalies, they're not going to wait for a trade deadline.
No, they won't.
January is a very strong month for, look at St. Louis years back.
St. Louis, Pittsburgh, which of the LA Kings when they won the cup in January, a lot of them thought they were out. I agree with that. I really, really, really do. So that's going to be interesting to see.
I said a word before, humane, but I genuinely think that in general, you know, you have your family, everybody settled. You want to have Christmas. You want to have some normality. I think it sounds ridiculous, but I think there's just a mutual respect. Like, okay, guys, don't worry. You won't be packing your bags. You're not going to be moving from city, from your country in the middle of the Christmas holidays. Mm-hmm. Just do your thing. And I, you know, to that point, again, as ridiculous as it sounds, as soon as the holidays are over, I think the trade market is just going to...
You want to hear my scenario, Joey?
Joey.
There's five games left.
Talking to Joey. He's not talking to me and you, Chris.
There's five games left. It's a scenario. There's five games left before the new year and right before the opening of the trading again. If Allen plays three out of five, it's a sign that... I mean, if I was the coach... And I know that we need to trade this guy. I'd play him 3 out of 5 in the next five games.
Montembeau's confirmed for Minnesota. So they're on a 7-game road trip right now. Allen played 1 out of 7. So he's got five games left.
You need to again, unless they know that, because right now there's a freeze, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe the trade is done. Maybe a team already is interested and they know he's going to get him.
It could be too, huh?
Maybe bench him to rest him and not get injured. That's another thing. Maybe we see less of him in the next five games or more of him to build more value. It all depends. We don't know what's going on behind closed doors. So this freeze could either aid, they already have a trade in place and they're benching him to rest him so we don't have to injure him. Still a bidding war. Let's play him more to add more value. I mean, it's okay. Screw my scenario.
Well, look, look. Minnesota on Friday, Minnesota on Thursday, Chicago on Friday. So I personally think it's Montembeau confirmed on against Minnesota. I would put Primo against Chicago, and then they come back on the 28th, Thursday the 28th, a week later against Carolina. I put Allen there because that's the team I would try to target the most. I don't know why. I just think we could get something. I think we could get a first round pick for Carolina, maybe a prospect as part of the long-term plan, like Anthony mentioned. I would put Allen there, and then you split between the Florida teams. You got the Panthers on the 30th. You got Tampa Bay on the 31st. And then to open up January, you have January 2nd, the Dallas Stars. So I truly think it's going to, for these seven games, three games Allen, 3 games Montembeau, 1 game Primo. That's my prediction.
Anything can happen.
And anything can happen, man. So this is my actually favorite time of the year. The World Juniors are coming up, and I'm every year I get excited. And there's 4 Montreal Canadiens prospects heading there just to close out the episode. So you obviously have Owen Beck, who actually made the team straight out of their camp. He wasn't a final cut and then a call-up because, ironically enough, Kirby Dach's brother, Colton Dach, got injured. So Owen Beck is representing Canada. 2 prospects representing the United States of America, Lane Hudson and Jacob Fowler. And that's going to be interesting to see because the battle of the goaltenders for the Americans between Jacob Fowler and Trey Augustine, I get a gut feeling, and we all saw the video of the scouts in the room, the war room, debating about which goalie to take. And the head scout, Billy something, I forgot his last name, Billy was so... He's so adamant and convincing about Fowler. I think the other goalie they were debating about was this Trey Augustine goalie. So this, and again, this is my feeling. This is my gut feeling. There's no confirmation. I'm just going with gut feel here. But if it really is the case, like this is something interesting to see if like these goaltenders kind of like duking it out for the number one spot for the Americans. And like Jacob Fowler's got a great attitude. He's like, I love Trey. We're roommates. I respect him, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's going to be interesting to see. And I honestly think the Americans have a very, very good chance. I'm wondering if we'll see a Canada versus U.S. finals. And you have Philip Massar, who's representing Slovakia. And I think there's a good chance he gets to be the team captain, which is always great to see. We had Jan Misak, who represented Czechia twice when he went to the World Juniors. If we see Philip Massar, who's having an outstanding year in juniors, if he gets the captaincy for Team Slovakia, I think that's great. Lane Hudson is the alternate captain for Team USA, which is great.
Can't wait to see him.
I'm going to be watching all. I mean, those are the 3 teams I'm going to watch mostly. I'm going to definitely watch Canada, duh. I'm going to watch the American games, and I'm going to definitely watch the Slovakia games. I really want to. This is Philip Massar's year to shine, and he needs to be their best player, and that's something that could help in his development as well. And you know, we won't see any Connor Bedard highlights deking the shit out of everybody in overtime to score that game winner, but
you'll see Lane Hudson do it,
dude. We just might. So, Anthony, where are you off to end the new year? To start the new year, to end off the year 2020.
Well, I was gonna end it off by saying this is my last episode for 2023. So I was gonna wish all our fans a happy holidays and happy new year. But I'm heading to Florida again next week. So nice. I leave the day after Christmas and I come back mid January.
Okay.
Looking forward to that break.
Do you have any favorite moments from 2023 of either the Canadians or hockey or football, maybe the NFL? Any favorite rigged moments in the NFL of 2020?
I don't have a favorite rigged fucking moment, let me tell you. I was a yard away of winning $2,000, if you want to talk about gambling.
Oh, my God. Oh, so that's how it all makes sense. It's because you lost money. You lost.
It's one of the reasons why I think it's all rigged, but anyway.
Oh, my God. So I'll put a thing. Wait till the end to hear Anthony's reasons why he believes the NFL is rigged.
Well, look, I mean, anyways, we'll not get into it. But anyways. Okay.
Yeah. Any favorite moments, real quick, that you could think of off the top of your head?
And for hockey, for the Habs, I mean,
anything at this point.
You put me on the spot, man. You put me on the spot. We're supposed to prep this pre-episode, man.
I should have prepped you, but now we get raw, honest answers. not even the live David Reinbacher episode.
The what?
When we did the draft episode live for David Reinbacher, that
was. I mean, that was a fun episode.
That was.
You know what? One of my favorite podcast moments is when I surprised you guys on the episode while driving, and I made it seem like good. I was a guest.
Yeah, yeah, that was fun. Yeah, okay.
That would be my favorite podcast memory. Habs awesome. Memory, I'm just liking I'm enjoying what I'm witnessing this season. Yeah. We didn't expect what we saw. Oh, let's go back to the beginning of this episode 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. You had said this is growing pains for this team.
Yeah. Okay?
If this is considered growing pains, I'm fucking happy because we all said that we want this team to develop. We don't care if they lose, as long as they lose with fight, with, you know, like that drive to win, mm-hmm. or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're doing that. Like, we're not seeing blowouts. We're not seeing a team that
except for the Kings twice. That's, you know, it.
Like, what happened last year? Last year, mid-season, I just didn't want to watch the game. Or was the season before, whatever. I just didn't want to watch the team anymore. It was boring. It was just, I couldn't watch it. It was disgusting. And now, win or lose, playoffs or not, I said at the beginning, episode one, I said, I just want to watch this season and enjoy their play and development. And I've been, you know, to answer your question, the memory of this year is just this. I'm just loving what I'm seeing the first half of the season. And I'm looking forward to the second half because I believe the second half will be even better because we're still in the fight for the playoffs in January, which we didn't have that feeling last year.
Yeah.
There's still a trade coming, which I'm very curious to know what this trade is going to be.
Yeah.
And the future is bright. And I'm just looking forward to it.
I think Marty's going to inspire them to make that push.
Marty is not a quitter.
And I'm going to end it on that. Yeah.
Marty's not a quitter. This organization is not a quitter. We're not going to tank anymore. That word tank is no longer in existence in this fucking organization.
Exactly. That is true too.
And we're going to fight till the end. We said it. We're predicting either making the playoffs or not making it and finishing 9th or 10th. Like right at the fucking tip. That's what's going to happen. All right. On that note, for all my listeners.
that was a perfect ending.
To all our listeners out there, from Anxious Anthony, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays to your families. A healthy end of year and a healthy beginning of 2024 and a great 2024. Yep. And to you guys, I know we're going to talk in our chats
next
couple of days. But I'm looking forward to 2024 for the Curfew Boys.
Yep.
A lot coming. Sorry to announce this at the end of this episode, but we'll announce it on Instagram. We may be postponing the fundraiser one more time, and I promise you this will be the last time we do it, but details will be shared later on. Mm-hmm. To all our listeners out there, if you love what you hear, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and subscribe on our YouTube channel to see our beautiful faces. Write an honest review. We want to hear your feedback. The sooner we'll make us better. Chris, Sam,
Anthony, enjoy.
Joey,
Well, we might be back for one more episode before the end of the year. But Anthony, have fun. Merry Christmas to you and yours. We will chat again soon. Absolutely. Thanks. Thanks for being on one more time in 2023.
Until next time, ladies and gentlemen.
Bye now.
Bye now.
Good night.